And Jesus said, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." In the name of Jesus, amen. Will the real Jesus please stand up? Will the Christian witnesses of Jesus please speak up? Who is this guy? Is he God? Is he the Messiah? Is he the one for all? Is he the one for me? Is he the answer? What if I told you today that Jesus is the key to your catechesis and he is the answer to all the questions that really matter in this life? And what if I also told you that we as pastors and teachers, as Christians, we get to preach and teach and share and counsel people about this Jesus until by the power of the Holy Spirit, they come to see that he is the answer to all of their hopes and dreams in life. When Jesus is the answer to the questions of your life, life and salvation are yours in his name. The answer. You know, most of us, though, are a little bit uncomfortable when we say that someone is the answer. You know, we like to hear about something being the answer or some way of thinking being the answer, but when someone is the answer, we get a little bit uncomfortable because if I'm the answer, I don't usually live up to my own expectations, let alone the expectations of others. How about you? You know, Brangelina is dead. Hopes and dreams in people. We usually tend to let one another down. But when someone is the answer to our deepest yearnings, then suddenly we're vulnerable. Suddenly we are not in control of things. Suddenly your allegiance is tied up to their destiny. I remember seeing this play out in Philadelphia back in the day. Philadelphia 76ers, one of my favorite basketball teams, and I used to like it when they had Dr. J. That shows how far back I go. They went 20 years without a championship until they drafted this one person. You remember his name? Allen Iverson. He was a guard from Georgetown. He was really pretty incredible player, 6 foot tall, but just dominated the league for a while. And you know what his nickname was? The Answer. When you needed something at the end of the game, he was the answer. When you needed a score, he was the answer. When you needed a pass, he was the answer. When you needed a defensive stop, he was the answer. Well, he was the person in which they put all of their hopes and dreams. He got them one championship, or at least got to the finals anyway. And that was it. In fact, he wasn't the answer to much else after that. But, you know, that's the point. There is only one person who is the answer to all that we yearn for deep in our hearts and minds, and that's the point of this text. Jesus is saying, look, I'm the pivot, I'm the key, I'm the fulcrum. I am the answer to your hopes and your dreams. Well, what's interesting to me is Jesus asked the question. That's why he asked it to us. Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Messiah. But have you ever noticed today that people don't like to answer Jesus' question? They'd rather pepper him with a few more questions. Does this happen to you as a pastor? As a Christian? You know, you want to share Christ? But I've got another question for you before we do that, Pastor. I love when they say stuff like, well, you know, how can I believe in Jesus when there's all this evil in the world and there's all these problems in the world? How do you expect me to believe in you? Or here's the one I get a lot when people are talking about their hopes and dreams. It's like, hey, God, aren't you supposed to be in the blessing business? How about throwing a little bit my way? Don't I have some expectations about you? We've set up our own creeds. That's why catechesis is so necessary, because we're always fashioning our own creeds. We need to hear the creed that really saves the proclamation of Christ in our lives. English journalist Stephen Turner wrote this thing called Creed, and it sums up our modern society pretty well. Listen to what he says. These are the folks out there kind of, well, it's also the folks in here doing the same thing. He said, this is what's often in our hearts. He said, we believe We believe in Max Freud Darwin. We believe everything's okay as long as you don't hurt anyone. We believe that we're doing our best as long as we don't hurt anyone, and we define what that means, and we know what this knowledge of okay is. We believe in sex before, during, and after marriage. We believe in the therapy of sin, the adultery is fun, that everything's getting better despite the evidence to the contrary. Of course, that evidence must be investigated, and you can prove anything with your evidence. We believe there's something in horoscopes, UFOs, and bent spoons. We believe Jesus was a good man just like Buddha, Muhammad, and ourselves. He was a good moral teacher. I like this. Although we think his good morals are actually bad for us today. We believe that all religions are basically the same. They all believe in love and goodness. They only differ on matters of creation, sin, heaven, hell, God, and salvation. We believe that after death comes nothing, or if there is a heaven, it's compulsory heaven for all except perhaps Hitler, Stalin, and Genghis Khan, and of course we're not like any of those. We believe that man is essentially good. It's only his behavior that lets him down. This is the fault of society, not people, and society is the fault of conditions, and conditions are the fault of society. We believe that man, each one, must find the truth that's right for him. Reality will adapt accordingly. The universe will readjust. History will alter. We believe there is no absolute truth, excepting the truth that there is no absolute truth. And we believe in the rejection of creeds and the flowering of individual thought, even though the flowering of individual thought is a creed. Catechesis. Catechesis cuts through all that. Catechesis cuts through all those questions, and it challenges people to see life without Christ. That's the preaching of the law. And then it challenges us to see the reality of life in Christ when Christ changes everything. Grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone, and in Him all changes. We get to tell people there is another creed. There is a creed of God in action for sinners who cannot save themselves. And that's what we're here to talk about from font to grave. That's something I need each and every day. I don't know about you. I need to hear that each and every day because I'm fashioning my own creeds just like they are. I need to hear that every day. And catechesis, to me, is that ongoing effort of bringing that arm's length Jesus face to face with people again so that they see that He is their loving Savior. Just one final thought then. I just read an article that said this: it is a scientific fact that it is better to look at the world through rose-colored glasses. What do you think? They say it's technically better to look at the world through rose-colored glasses. A University of Toronto study provided the first direct evidence that your mood literally changes how you see things. And so if you look at the world through rose-colored glasses with a good mood, you tend to see more of what's really there in front of you. Well, I don't know about that, but I can say this. If you look at the world through the grace glasses of the Rose of Sharon, if you look at the world through the rose-colored, bloodshed-tinted spectacles of our Savior Jesus Christ, then the world changes dramatically. All things are new in Him. Everything changes in Him. Struggle has a purpose. It has a telos. Victory has humility. It has a servant's heart in its midst. Marriage is more than just your happiness. And work is more than stuff you do. There is joy, there is wonder, there is intrigue each and every day of life until we spend life eternal with our Lord and Savior Jesus. Sin forgiven, guilt removed, death conquered, and life promised forever. Catechesis, it's proclaiming that Jesus. Until by the power of the Holy Spirit, people see that that Jesus is their Lord and their Savior, and that their life is bound up in Him. Now, if you think you already know that and you don't need to know more about that, I'm going to tell you, it may sound that simple, but it's going to take the rest of your life to probe its depths. Do you want any extracurricular study for this? Do you want some further questions to this? Well, then listen on, because I love how Leonard Sweet points out that knowing Jesus changes every day in every way from now until eternity. So if you want further study, just listen to what Jesus, the answer, continues to say to you. Ready? In him, by him, through him, Sweet says this: the way to be first is last. Struggle with that one for a while. The way of attainment is relinquishment. The way of success is to serve. The way of strength is weakness. The way of security is vulnerability. The way of protection is forgiveness. The way of life is death. Death to self, death to society, death to anything but Jesus. You want to get the most? Go to the least. You want to be free? Give complete control to the God who loves you with an everlasting love. It's that simple. It's that basic. But it'll take you the rest of your life to probe its joy for you. Because that's why Jesus comes to you and me today and catechetically asks us, who do you say that I am? And what do we say? You're the Messiah. Blessed are you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said, amen. God bless you.